This leader is provided to permit the projectionist to complete adjustment of focus and sound level before the film begins.
On today's show, hot wrestling talk and more hot wrestling talk. Who's the greatest of all time? Talk a little NFL as the NFL keeps having all these moves going on. Who's a contender in the AFC? All that and more. April 3rd, 2024.
Woo! Initiate explosion in 3, 2, 1.
That's right. It is the JLSBX, the Josh Lamb Sports Ball Explosion. I'm Josh Lamb, your host. We got a fun show coming up. We got our guest coming in here in just a second. Today is April 3rd, 2024. This is the podcast where we answer the question,
what in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Well, there's a lot of going on, and we're going to tackle it right away. Hey, if you haven't checked out our polls yet on either Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, check them out, the JLSBX. Also on Facebook at the JLSBX polls and such, and the page. Also, if you're already listening to the podcast, thank you. Please leave a review. Give us some feedback. I appreciate any and all of it. If you've got somebody out there that's dying of thirst for a good sports podcast, let them know that to look us up. You can find us on pretty much any and all platforms. I would recommend Podomatic or Spotify for your podcast needs. So without further ado, I'm bring on our guests today. We have both Dennis Brown and Frank Raper. What's up, buddies?
Good morning.
How's it going?
It's always good to have you guys in here. I'm coming to you from Central Iowa. Now, I have a... this on Friday's show, coming up in a couple days, going to reveal the polls, the big poll of this week, and that is, and I'm gonna hit you guys right upside the head with a folding chair with this one to start. The poll is, who is the greatest pro wrestler of all time as we head into WrestleMania? What do you guys got?
The only correct answer is Ric Flair.
Ric Flair, huh?
Yeah, that is the only correct answer.
Okay, I got you.
Completely disagree with that. The only correct answer is Hulk Hogan.
Okay. And
now, if you ask Hulk Hogan, he will tell you it's Ric Flair. But there's a lot more that I think goes into being the GOAT of wrestling than just Ric Flair being really good at it and selling it really good and being able to do hour-long matches. Hulk Hogan was like the most famous person on the planet for about 6 years.
Yeah, no, neither one of you are wrong. It's fun.
But with Rick, the ability every night to see exactly how far he could push his liver, as well as exposing himself on a flight from London to the United States. I mean, he's just a legend. And I mean,
he is.
I mean, if I had the ability, and I probably do, but I don't want to fuck with anything, I would, and I'll share it with the audience of my Halloween costume 2 years ago when I was Nature Boy Ric Flair.
I would have him. I mean, absolutely number two, but he can't be bigger than Hulk Hogan. People try to put Steve Austin above. You can't be. This guy in wrestling will never be what it was ever again. It's pretty much toast. So this guy is the biggest thing wrestling has ever seen. WrestleMania 1, 2 was kind of lame. I mean, as a kid, I thought it was the greatest thing ever. But 3 put wrestling on the proverbial United States map. Everybody, the world map. Everybody was watching it. And that's because of Hulk Hogan.
And you're not wrong.
Was it Hulk Hogan or was it Vince McMahon's ability to push him?
No, it was Vince's vision to see Hulk Hogan in that role. But as far as having Hogan be needing Vince to push him, he didn't need that. They were both willing participants. They were completely partnered up. I've heard a zillion interviews from both of them about this, and they say this. They're both consistent about it, that basically Vince came to Hogan and said, are you ready to blow this thing completely up? And Hogan's like, yeah, I'm ready. Let's do this. And then that's when Vince said, okay, I'm going to put everything I have on WrestleMania, on this WrestleMania thing, and bank that you're going to be big enough to make it happen. Ric Flair would have never been able to do what Hulk Hogan did.
But
never.
So Hogan fell to Vince because other promoters didn't use him the way Vince did. And WrestleMania was a hit, not only because of Hogan, but because they crossed over to MTV. They crossed over to Mr. T. They had a ton of celebrities that got eyes on it. Now, I'm not saying Hogan wasn't a great draw.
Well, out of everything you just named, Hogan was the draw. He was the number one draw. And all they all did was make it even bigger and make him even bigger.
So you think WrestleMania would have been as big of a success without Liberace, without
absolutely
Bobby
not. Burke? I know what you're saying. Okay. No, it wouldn't have. That all had to be a part of it. But who was the person on center stage? Who was the person that Vince was using all that bullshit to prop up? All Liberace and all them people, and Muhammad Ali, and all of them were there to do what? To make it a huge event and prop who up, to explode who. And it worked. Now, if you take Hulk Hogan out of that equation, and this is purely hypothetical in my opinion, and you put Ric Flair in that scenario, that shit don't work. That don't work on that stage. There's no way.
So, and I agree that Hogan was the biggest draw ever. But Flair and him both worked for two different companies.
Absolutely.
Flair was huge in WCW, huge in WWE. Hogan was not as big in WCW as he was in WWE.
No, because
he was huge.
Because Hogan was much bigger nationally. He was much bigger to the national audience. The WCW back then, they had their own little niche audience. That's why they were playing in basically fucking high school gyms. I mean, don't get me wrong. My aunt back then, when I was a little kid, when I'd be in Des Moines visiting her, wrestling would come on, and I'd be like, fuck is this shit? I'm like, turn it to Hulk Hogan. And I see Ric Flair up there turning beet red, talking about fucking limousines and airplanes. And I'm like, she's like, shut the fuck up. This is what I watch. I don't watch that Hulk Hogan bullshit. So I get it. But Flair and the WCW had their own little niche crowd. Hulk Hogan had the fucking entire country.
Well, WCW did beat Raw for 83 weeks.
Yeah,
so
because of
I
Hulk
get
Hogan.
That. Well,
no,
yeah.
don't do it, Frank. It's 100% because of Hulk Hogan.
You
they
see,
turned him. They turned him heel just to make
why.
It even bigger.
That's why.
That's still Hulk Hogan.
See, this
Ric
is
Flair was there.
This is why I love you guys. I was hoping to get 30 seconds of content out of that question, and here we are 29 minutes later. This is so great. But, by the way,
I will lay.
What?
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say,
I'll lay this challenge down. Who could do more coke, Hogan or Flair? That's the true measure, because I think Flair could do way more blow than Hogan.
Well,
that right there.
One thing I was going to say, and I love your guys' answers, and you're not wrong. What I found to be funny was, or not funny, but peculiar, the different angles each one of those guys took in the 80s. Hogan was say your prayers, take your vitamins, where Ric Flair was limousines, airplanes, champagne, all that bullshit. And it both worked. It both worked.
Yeah, it did. Hogan, the WWE back then was more cartoon characters. That's what it was. They were superheroes. That's why everybody was so huge and big and bubbly.
Ico Pro.
They all had crazy, crazy fucking names. Hillbilly Jim and Coco Beware and
yeah.
the Junkyard
there you go.
Dog.
Yeah.
There you go. That's WWE in the 80s right
they,
there.
Yes, and they changed all that with the Attitude Era, and that's why they lost for 83 weeks, because people that the demographic that started watching wrestling was a little bit older, and they found that shit that we loved when we were kids about say your prayers, take your vitamins, they found it to be a little bit absurd. So they started gearing wrestling towards them, and Vince was just a little fucking late to the party on that, to where WCW was already full into it with the NWO and all that bullshit. But Vince is smart. He figured it out, caught up, put him out of business, and the Attitude Era began with Stone Cold Steve Austin, who is huge, probably number three, but not bigger than Hulk Hogan.
So I will ask this question, and I know you want to move on, Josh. So is this who's the greatest wrestler of all time or the greatest draw in professional wrestling? Because if it's the greatest draw, then hands down it is Hogan.
And if it's the greatest wrestler, it's neither one of them. So what's your next question? Right,
so who would be greater than Flair?
As far as wrestling is concerned, it'd be Bret Hart.
Wrestling? Bret Hart? No. I would say it'd be Shawn Michaels all day long, and they all say it. Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan. Everybody says Shawn Michaels is the greatest wrestler in the ring that ever existed. They all say it.
If you want to get technical about it, Kurt Angle would be the actual greatest wrestler of them all.
Sure.
Sure.
And actually, in the ring, he's one of the greatest ever.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Pro Wrestling Podcast with Josh, Frank, and Dennis. All pro wrestling.
Woo!
All the time. Yeah, and just for you guys.
Woo!
Yeah, I found that drop for you, just for you. Well, so back to what I'm saying. That's the poll question of the week for everybody, and you're allowed to put in your own answers. If it is Coco Beware, go for it. We'll find out on Friday who is the GOAT, according to the polls.
It could be Scott Putski as well, possibly Barry Horowitz.
You guys have both definitely heard. I'm not like, you don't think I'm crazy that Shawn Michaels is the best in-ring talent that they've ever seen, and that everybody's pretty well uniform on that.
I'll go Bret.
No, I'm not doubting. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I'm still, I guess, I mean, there's a lot of different greatest like angles you can take with it. Like, because you could go greatest technical wrestler, greatest draw, greatest heel, greatest gimmick.
Greatest talkers.
And the answer is.
And Hulk Hogan was bigger than all of them. And it wasn't close. And that's what Ric Flair says about him. When Hogan says he's the greatest, Flair says, you're the biggest thing that ever existed in wrestling, and it wasn't close.
Oh, no, I'm not doubting that. I'm not questioning that at all.
Well, then don't question the 16-time champion. He knows what the fuck he's talking about, Frank.
That is Ric Flair. It was the 16-time champion.
Correct.
Woo! Yeah.
All right. If it's okay with you guys, can we move on?
Sure.
Absolutely.
One more.
I mean, I could go another 20 minutes.
I know,
like,
you could.
We can move.
Just one more for the cheap seats.
Woo!
There we go. So today, as I was just, two, 3 days ago, I met an honest to God Buffalo Bills fan from Buffalo who was traveling through the area. And I was talking to him a little bit about it, and you know, how close they've gotten in the past and how close they are currently. And then this morning, I see that they trade away Stephon Diggs for 3 picks. And these aren't stellar picks. This is a 5th, a 6th, and a 2nd round in next year's draft. Is this a sign of the Bills giving up?
No.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, no, I don't think him and Josh Allen get along anymore. They're not on the same page anymore. So you just as well move him. Try to get what you can. Nobody's going to give him a first-round pick for him. He's good, but he's not like top 5 in the league, if even top 10 in the league good. There's zillions of receivers, but he is really good.
I believe since he's been in Buffalo, which is 4 years he was there, he was the number one receiver in the NFL as far as receptions are concerned. He had like 450 in 4 years. Pretty good. But I guess part two of this question,
Justin Jefferson.
Not right
so,
now.
So as far – the problem with the Bills is that they're – they're up against, there's going to be a cap problem. And that's where they're starting to move on, because if I look at projected drafts, I see them with either Xavier Worthy or Adonai Mitchell in the first round. I don't think any of the other receivers will drop to them. They may move up to take a receiver. This whole draft class is loaded with receivers that can go in the first or second round. So they're looking to the future and saying, you know what? We're probably either going to have to cut these guys because of like cap compliance. So why don't we trade them, get what we can, and draft younger players and hopefully plug them in and be able to get the same results in a year or two.
And the second round pick's pretty good.
That's not a bad grab for him.
No, so part, I think they both make out pretty good.
So part two of this question, with the addition of Stephon Diggs and Joe Mixon, have the Texans leapfrogged Buffalo as far as contender for the AFC?
It depends if CJ Stroud has a sophomore slump or not.
I think
exactly what I was going to say, Frank, word for word.
But with added weapons, that's going to be hard for him to slump. And I think a lot of this has to do, I think the success in Houston is all in the coaching. They have totally turned the corner there. They had defensive rookie of the year last year, offensive rookie. If we're talking about which teams have the best chance of knocking the Chiefs down and dethroning them, I think you got to put Houston right up there. I'm not going to go Baltimore, but I'm going to say that it's Houston or Cincinnati now at this point.
Well, and I remember there were a lot of people that were saying that Jacksonville was on the precipice, and I don't see it. He had a great rookie year. He was phenomenal. They have added weapons, but what happens if he gets injured in week one or week two?
You're talking Who's about CJ Stroud?
Yeah. Or what if he slumps? What if he's, 70% of what he was last year? Because a lot of times that happens with a rookie quarterback.
Sure.
So I believe in the upside of him. I do. But I think it's kind of knee-jerk to say, after a small sample size like that, that they are in the upper tier of the AFC.
I see what you're saying, Frank, but I probably have to agree with Josh here. I think, well, the addition of Diggs, so giving that kid a veteran who's really, really good, and he's already got quite a bit of talent around him, and the coaching for sure is top level. And the system they run is fairly close to what the Niners and the Rams all run. They're all part of that family. So I don't foresee him. You have the whole, they got tape on him now. Yeah, but, they had tape on him after 8 games. They had tape on him after 10 games. They had tape on him after 12 fucking games, and they couldn't figure him out. It's the same thing they keep saying about Purdy. Oh, well, he'll come back down to earth. I don't think that's – and trust me, C.J. Stroud is – probably immensely more talented than Brock Purdy. Don't see a fall off here.
And when you look at Houston's 6 divisional games, you would have to think that they should at least go 4-2 or better. Their toughest matchup Absolutely. Would be Jacksonville. They got 2 times, but they should be able to run right over Indianapolis and Tennessee.
The AFC South, I think us 3 could be competitive in the AFC South.
Yeah, don't count Indianapolis out, though. They're always that team that you're like, oh, they're fucking trash. And then the next thing you know, you're like, they might make the playoffs. And don't forget, they lost their quarterback last year, Jason Richardson, Josh Richardson, right?
Anthony Richardson?
Anthony Richardson. And he's coming back. So how good is he going to be? I don't know.
Well, if they fire their coach, who from ESPN will they hire as an interim coach this time?
Oh, come on, man! You know why he did that. There was nobody to. There's a lot of guys in this league that people think can coach, and there's a fucking reason that they never hire them.
Yeah,
it's because they can't, and they know it. They have them on these staffs. That they're everybody knows all about them. And there's a reason they don't hire him. Like, what was the offensive coordinator for Kansas City when
Eric,
Washington?
Eric Bieniemy. And it's
Eric Bieniemy.
It's funny you say that because I was just thinking of him because
he's probably a terrible coach.
Most likely because for what, 5 years in a row, he was not getting a head coaching job and everyone was scratching their heads like, well, look what how productive he was at Kansas City. Well, last year with Washington, 29th in the league in passing. Or I'm sorry, 20th in passing, 29th in rushing. They couldn't move the ball. So you know, there's a lot of things behind the closed doors in the office that we don't see. That he's probably an ill communicator. Who knows, really? But he's not getting.
It's almost like when the Colts had Peyton Manning. It's awful easy to be in a fucking offensive coordinator for Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah,
I mean.
Although Chiefs fans hate it when I say this, I still think Andy Reid has made Patrick Mahomes. If Patrick Mahomes was drafted by the Jets, we wouldn't know who the fuck he was.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
Well, then that gets me a woo! Moving on. This is a real quick one. I don't imagine you guys watch too much hockey. Judging by the numbers, it doesn't get great ratings. But I do like going to a hockey game. They are fun.
They're fun in person.
In person. Last night, the Rangers and Devils had a not one, not two, but all 10 players involved in a brawl. Are you old school in thinking that, like, man, it's refreshing to hear a story like that? Like, even if you don't watch hockey, you're like, you know, there's still like a men's game out there where they're just. Fuck the rules. We're just gonna tear off the gloves and throw down. Do you like seeing this type of story?
I do. Watching hockey highlights on social media when they're cut down to bite size of those guys kicking the shit out of each other is fantastic. I love it, and I can't get enough of it. But watching the actual game on TV it's hard on the eyes for me.
What game was that, Josh?
Rangers Devils.
I call it soccer stick.
Oh, because this is saying that it was tonight's game. 2 seconds in, right after the puck drop, that 10 players were involved in a brawl. Either there was one last night, and they said, "Fuck it, we're not done." Let me look.
Well, they must have been really fast on the highlights for that because I saw it just before dialing you guys up. So it must have been important to someone that was there that they already posted the video and all that shit. So that
you
had,
might have to get scrotum breaking news on this.
Yeah,
How many of them ended up in the penalty box?
Probably all of them.
All of them.
I'm trying to think of the movie reference. What was it? Was it Major League 2? Where it's like, should we eject them? Who? Well, all of them. Because there was some like fight on the field or some shit.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Sherm Scrotum with the story. Yeah. So
Sherm Scrotum. This is, as the story develops, I'm getting 4 players from each team received game misconducts 2 seconds into the game.
Yeah. No, I like it. I like me a good old fashioned. On field or on ice brawl. Needs to be a few more of them,
See,
if you ask me. There should be more.
This is, yeah, there should be more. And this is where hockey should take a page out of baseball. Let's juice these fuckers up and then just unleash them on each other. You want to get people watching hockey? You know, grown men caving each other in with a hockey stick seconds into a hockey game.
And let's put.
I'll start watching.
Let's put razor blades on their feet too. And see what happens.
Yeah. Well.
I think they do that in cockfighting. I don't know. Either way, just thought it was a fun little story. Hockey fights here on the KLSBX. So I got a question for you guys. In your own personal opinion, if I were to say, what is one of the or the shittiest trade in pro sports history? What immediately comes to mind? Dennis?
Well, if we're playing hindsight, I mean...
You're allowed to play hindsight on this.
Of course, it's the Dallas trade with Minnesota. That's probably the biggest one. I mean,
the Herschel Walker trade.
They went on to win three Super Bowls off that trade. They got a plethora of talent out of those draft picks.
Didn't they get three Hall of Famers out of that trade?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say, the trade, because they got Michael Irvin, Emmitt Smith, and was Aikman?
No, I don't think he was part of that trade, but I think they got Eric Williams or something.
No, and Michael Irvin wasn't a part of it either. Aikman were already there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right.
I thought that was maybe Tooney or Williams or something they got out of that.
Yeah, like Larry Allen.
Yeah, someone like that.
Yeah.
Either way, it worked out pretty well for Dallas.
And I also think one of the hindsight, most lopsided draft day trades was Vlade Divac for Kobe Bryant.
Well, Dennis, we are in simpatico there, because that's exactly where I was going with this. And I'm glad you mentioned, I know you would remember that. I mean, because so Frank and I have this this buddy of ours, Noah, which I haven't seen in quite a while. He and I are both Lakers fan, and we used to have a term for when you fuck somebody over in a trade. It was called Westing somebody, in honor of Jerry West, because of all the great moves he made, especially Vlade Divac for Kobe Bryant. And that brings me to today's story. Jerry West, for the record third time, inducted to the Basketball Hall of Fame. And I don't think anybody would argue against it. I mean, the guy is basketball.
As a player, as a GM?
He's already in as a player and as a GM. This one's unique. He's in as an influencer, which I didn't know was a position, but apparently it is. But again, would you argue that we can just make that role up for Jerry West and just put him in a third time?
Didn't he work for Golden State?
Yeah, he built the team that won championships. He was also with Memphis. He's currently with the Clippers. Everywhere he goes, the only one thing he couldn't do was coach, and I just don't think he wanted much to do with it.
I think it was one of those things where he was such a great player that he was so frustrated that, you know, Magic Johnson went through the same thing. Started out, you know, they won like 11 games or some shit, and then it just went in the toilet. Because you start to – could you imagine Michael Jordan coaching? He would be like, why can't you do that? Go do that. That's what I did. It's like, dude, we can't fucking do what you did, bro.
Right.
And I think Magic Johnson had a lot of that going on. And so did Jerry West. People don't realize that there's a reason that guy is the fucking logo. He was insanely good. He's one of the GOATs. So
that is exactly what I was going to say with Josh. You asked that question, and I was going to answer it with a question. Who is the logo for the NBA? So I think that the answer is I don't have an issue, because you can't be any more influential on the NBA than being the fucking logo of the NBA.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. He's the man, a feisty old man from West Virginia, you know, and building the teams that he built, getting Shaq and Kobe together, forming that whole thing. It's all been great.
Well, wasn't he a part of putting the 80s Lakers together? I mean, he built that too.
Yeah, he was.
So, I mean, he built all that. He built the Kobe Shaq Lakers. That enough should have him in any Hall of Fame he wants to be in.
When you were talking about former players and how they have a hard time coaching, one of the players that came to mind was Larry Bird, who was very successful as a coach. But as you saw, he just couldn't do it anymore. And it's probably the same thing.
Isaiah Thomas was pretty good too.
Seriously?
Those Pacer teams were pretty good under him. I mean, he wasn't a bad coach. Reggie thinks he was a pretty good coach. He won games. He went to the playoffs. He played in meaningful games. Yeah, he was a fucking terrible GM with the Knicks. Don't get me wrong. But he wasn't a horrible coach with the Knicks either. I mean, he was a better coach than Magic ever would have been. And he was a better coach than Michael Jordan ever would have dreamed of being a GM.
I cannot picture Michael Jordan being a coach, because for everything you just said, he would just be frustrated. He'd be frustrated, and he'd be sipping on cognac, and he'd be like, what the fuck, you guys? You know,
it'd be like, could you imagine Kobe coaching? Would you even want to be a player playing for him? He would just fucking yell at you the entire time. It would be miserable.
Right.
He would tell you, as Laker fans,
tell
you guys,
how fucking bad you are constantly.
You have in a couple of years, you have LeBron James to look forward to staying with your team and continuing to just do whatever the fuck he wants.
God damn it, Frank. God damn you.
Well, there are.
How dare you?
Hopefully something happens.
I think that's a good moment to take a really quick break. When we come back.
Dennis, are you hoping that LeBron gets. Never mind. I'm not going there.
Well, he's old. You know, people die from old age.
I thought maybe he might get on a helicopter too soon.
Yeah, don't ever go to break.
Thank you. I will. When we come back. We got Dennis and Frank here. We're going to do some Marv or Steve. It's an action-packed episode. We'll be right back in just a second. Woo!
Don't go anywhere. Anywhere at all. We'll be right back after this very important thing. Or whatever.
They're the two gold medal hopefuls.
Bob said he's going to set the tone to start the game. And he said, I'm running through Powell's fucking chest. First play of the game, I'm running through Paul Gasol.
We was like, what?
Man, you tripping. Like, that's your teammate. You tripping. You ain't about to do that.
He said, first play of the game, I know what they're going to run, and he knew Powell's going to be the last screen. And he said, I'm running through that motherfucker.
I swear, the first play of the game. We was like, holy shit.
He just went right into the middle of my chest, trying to get right through me. To send a message to not just to me, but to his teammates. Say, hey, this might be my brother. I play with him. We're close. But I don't care about anything else but winning.
You're listening to the Josh Lamb Sports Ball Explosion. Now back to the show, you handsome devils.
We're back. It is the JLSBX, the Josh Lamb Sports Ball Explosion. There we go. One for the cheap seats there. Thanks for listening. Thanks for participating in any of the polls, all of that fun stuff. Again, this week's big poll, who's the greatest wrestler of all time? You can debate it in your head. You can debate it with your friends. But we'll find out on Friday's episode who, in fact, is voted in as the greatest of all time. Frank, Dennis, you guys ready to do some Marv and Steve?
Yes!
Yes!
That's better than a...
Oh, hell no!
Rules are pretty simple. These are these are yes-no questions. They'll be answered with a Marv or a Steve. Now, this week's segment of Marv and Steve was compiled by my son, Caius. Okay? So he is helping out here in a way. And I want to make sure you remember that when we get to question five. So, question number one, Marv or Steve, is Caitlin Clark the best college basketball player ever?
Steve.
Oh, hell no.
What say you, Frank?
Hey, I'm going to have to say Steve. Oh, hell no. I mean, she's going to have every record, but I mean, that's like, you can't compare like decades because it's way different. In 10 years, 20 years, somebody will come along that'll break all of those records. So I'm just going to leave it at Steve.
As a lifetime Hawkeye fan, I hate to agree with you guys, but...
Oh, hell no!
Because you got to look at what Pete Maravich did without a three-point line. And by the way, his scoring record of 3,500 points was done in like 90 games. Like,
he didn't have the three-point line.
Yeah, and he averaged like 44 a game. And also, they don't count his freshman year with his stats. So there's that, and as much as I hate Christian Laettner, guy had probably the most perfect college career you could have. He went to the Final Four all 4 years of his college career, won the national title twice, that epic game against Kentucky.
Kentucky.
He went 10 for 10 from the field and 10 for 10 from the line. You don't get much more perfect than that. And you have one of the most iconic shots, the shot. So those
every year on the anniversary of that shot, I send a video to a friend of mine who's a Kentucky fan, and I get the same response every year. Fuck you.
I like Rick Pitino, so I was a Kentucky fan temporarily in the 90s, and I remember watching that, and I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me. And he shouldn't have been there because of the stomp, you remember? Earlier in the game, he stomped on somebody and got away with it. Probably should have been ejected.
He was Grayson Allen before Grayson Allen was Grayson Allen.
He sure was.
The dude got his own 30 for 30.
He sure did. Speaking of great college basketball players, and we'll move on this. I did meet Grandma once, Larry Johnson. Super nice guy.
Really?
Yeah. Super nice guy. And might be the biggest human being I've ever stood next to. I know there's bigger players, obviously, and pro wrestlers. But standing right next to a guy who's 6'10 and 200 some odd pounds, he was a big dude and super nice. So. And I remember that UNLV team was just unbeatable. They were just monsters. So, is Caitlin Clark...
Yeah, and the fact...
Go on.
Well, I was just going to say, and then him and Alonzo Mourning play together for the Hornets.
They sure did.
Mourning went to Georgetown.
Yeah, he did. Well, and then they became rivals when it was the New York and Miami.
That's right.
No, they played for the Hornets together.
Yeah, no, I got it.
Right, but yeah, I was saying right. Then they were rivals then, as Mourning was with the Heat, Grandma was with the Knicks.
Absolutely, yep.
So is Caitlin Clark the greatest college basketball player of all time?
Oh, hell no!
Question number two. When it comes to animated series, still after all these years, are The Simpsons the king?
No.
Steve.
Wow, I'm surprised by that. Well, what is the answer then?
American Dad.
Rick and Morty.
Yeah, that's a good call.
You know, I've tried the Rick and Morty. I couldn't get into it.
King of the Hill. King of the Hill was iconic. South Park, yeah.
Family Guy.
Did you guys ever see Clerks, the animated series?
No.
It only ran for 7 episodes, and then it got canceled. You should check it out if you can find it. It was actually pretty fucking funny. And it was...
Really?
It was the real voices. Jason or whatever. Jeff Anderson.
Kevin James.
It was Kevin Smith. It was written by Kevin Smith.
Kevin Smith, yeah.
But the actors that were in the Clerks movie, they actually voice it. And it's really fast-paced. It's got really fast-paced jokes and timing. I'd check it out. It was too bad it got canceled. But it was like ABC was trying to get in on the animation game. You know what I mean? Like Family Guy just came out and The Simpsons were doing their thing. So it's like they gave it a whirl, but they didn't really support it. So, but I would recommend it. Are The Simpsons the king of the animated game?
Oh, hell no.
Question number three. This isn't so much a yes or no. When it comes to wings, and I know you guys like your wings. I like my wings. Flats, drums, or doesn't matter?
Drums.
Doesn't matter. I'm in the doesn't matter camp as well, but if I had to pick, I like the drums. It's meatier. You get more stuff on it. I know people like the flats because they could be crispier, you know, if that's what you're going for. It's funny how peculiar some people get with this shit. They're like, they have to be all flats. You know, okay. But I tend to fall into the, it doesn't really matter. Just give me some wings. So that's a, do we like wings?
Yes!
I had to get Marvin here somehow. Question number four. Brought to you by Caius Lamb. Is Christmas the greatest holiday of the year?
No.
Oh, yeah, hell no! Steve.
Then what is? And I'll start that off. I'll say the Super Bowl. And God damn it, it's a holiday. I don't care what anybody says. The Super Bowl's a holiday.
It is my birthday.
If it's a holiday, then I agree with you.
If the rest of the world does not watch the Super Bowl, what holiday do you actually like if it's not Christmas? You guys 4th of July guys? Are you a...
Yeah.
Well...
Arbor Day?
4th of July or Thanksgiving.
If someone were to be contrarian and say the Super Bowl is not a holiday, first of all, I'll take the hammer I took outside a few minutes ago and have a conversation with them. But in that case, then it would have to be Thanksgiving because there's football and you eat like your body weight in food.
I agree.
Green bean casserole and all the trimmings. Yep. I like me some Thanksgiving. I like me some Black Friday now that the Hawkeyes play Nebraska on that. So, but Xmas, is it the greatest holiday of the year?
Oh, hell no.
Question number five, and this is the fifth and final question. And we had a huge argument on if I would even ask this question. But I promised Kaya, since he put the time together to put up this list, that I would ask this question, even though I know better.
Oh, fuck.
And it's just a one-word question. Marv or Steve? Trump.
Marv.
Yes!
What was that? Frank?
Steve.
Oh, hell no. Yes. Oh, hell no.
I think my computer's glitching out. Doesn't know what to do. I'm just going to...
I can fucking smell the liberalism in here.
No, it's not liberalism. It's like both of them just need to fucking go away. They're both brain dead idiots. They're both fucking like... They're both the reason why this whole country hates each other.
Okay, that's upsetting.
Well,
I mean, what, the truth is upsetting?
With that being said, guys, again, I appreciate you coming on, Frank and Dennis. Any final words?
In the immortal words of the greatest wrestler of all time, diamonds are forever, and so are the Four Horsemen.
Woo!
All right.
I would just say, God bless you, Josh. God bless America, and God bless Donald Trump.
Thank you, Dennis.
Hey, you know, for $60, you can buy his version of Mein Kampf disguised as a Bible.
And with that, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to wrap up the show. We'll be back in just a second. The JLSBX. Don't go anywhere if you haven't gone anywhere already.
With me at this time, the heavyweight champion of the world, Hulk Hogan, readying for a title defense tonight against Hercules. And of course, Hulk, it happens on your own home turf here in Southern California.
And thank God, Mean Gene, I got my pump back, man. You know, the pythons are ready. The largest arms in the world. And I'm glad they are because I checked this dude, Hercules, out, man. He's got the body of a god. He even looks like the real Hercules. And he's definitely stronger, man. But I checked the dude out even farther. He could have been a Greek god. He could have been an immortal. And you know something, Mean Gene? Since he's guided by Bobby the Weasel Heenan, I've trained for the dude like he's an immortal, brother. I've been hanging out in the Garden of Eden with my main squeeze Eve. I dove 20,000 leagues under the sea, 40 nights and 40 days. I hung and bung on the Titanic and Hercules. This is where the power lies. Train, say your prayers, eat your vitamins, be true to yourself, true to your country, be a real American. Whew.
Like what you're hearing, share us, tell a friend, and spread the word. You can find us at Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and many more. Don't be a fucking bastard.
That's right, we're back. It's the JLSBX, the Josh Lamb Sports Ball Explosion, coming to you here on April 3rd, 2024. If you're watching the sports ball, we've got, of course, the Final Four in both the men's and women's coming up this weekend. That's going to be awesome. We're going to review that on Friday's show. Also, WrestleMania all weekend long in Philadelphia. If you're fortunate enough to watch that, check it out. You know, WrestleMania or wrestling in general moving to Netflix within a few months. so you can check out the archives there. You can probably check it out already on Peacock. Hey, man, thanks for listening. Thanks for doing all of this stuff. And as I always appreciate the contributions coming in from Frank Rapier and Dennis Brown, they're bringing the heat as they always do, just like a good pile of wings, drums, and flats. Pro wrestling talk and all that stuff. We're going to get on out of here. Again, we'll be back on Friday to preview the final four matchups that are going on over the weekend. Also, there'll be some hot wrestling talk to come on again. So, until next time, I'm Josh Lamb. This is the JLSBX, the Josh Lamb Sports Ball Explosion. Find us anywhere you can. Share the show. Let others know that you love it. Comment. Send in some questions. Do whatever you want. Be good to each other. Don't cost nothing.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Train, say your prayers, eat your vitamins, be true to yourself, true to your country, be a real American.